Right, so Luke chapter 2 again, or Luke chapter 1, I'm sorry. And tonight we're going to take a look at Mary's song, Mary's celebration. Last week we looked at Elizabeth's celebration, and that was just a neat perspective, wasn't it? I mean, the scriptures and the perspective that it gives is always delightful. And so we look tonight at Mary's song. I say song because it's very likely that it was done in such a way that it was musical. As a song, we don't know it, any music that goes with it, of course, but it's expressed in that way. And I don't have any fancy outline for us tonight, but what I'd like us to do, instead of just looking down and reading through this and trying to figure out what Mary is saying, which is fine, but I'd like us to take this song as a model for celebrating Jesus. And it's a model. It's not necessarily the model, but as it would be a model. When we see the Word of God and we see what God has given to us and how He has expressed the account, whether it be with Elizabeth, whether it be with Mary, whether it be with Zechariah, whether it be with Simeon or Anna, whether it be Moses' song in the Old Testament, whether it be David in the Psalms, we can take their expressions of how they are dealing with the situation, whether it's just high exaltation or whether they're really crying out for comfort and help. And we can take those things as a model. We can say this is under the inspiration of God, an expression of how somebody is feeling, how somebody is celebrating in this instance. I don't know that we do a good job at that sometimes. We're not always the best communicators, some better than others. And my desire is to help us, and then by the Lord's grace, to help us all, perhaps, to know how to better celebrate Jesus this Christmas. So you see Mary's song there in chapter 1 of Luke, beginning in verse 46. Now, context, of course, is always wonderful, and it helps us. It's immediately following Elizabeth's celebrating remarks. Of course, Mary has come to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, 6 months along. And Mary has just had an encounter with Gabriel and knows that she is going to bear the Messiah. And so she goes to spend some time with Elizabeth. And we talked about all of that encounter last time we were together. Elizabeth's remarks certainly would have, as we talked about last week, would have almost released or gave permission to Mary to just release in celebration and joy. She wouldn't have to feel like she'd have to be quiet with Elizabeth. Yes, she was pregnant, but it was so worthy of celebration. And not to be afraid of the disdain of her cousin, because her cousin, she too, had an encounter with God, her husband as well. They were on the same page, in other words. And so are we. We're on the same page, or we ought to be, right? As a church. And so Elizabeth and her remarks, such as, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is she that has believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then Mary said, verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Wow, there's a lot packed in there. And I just would like us to consider how Mary celebrates God and his work. You first see her celebrating his lordship. What is lordship? We don't use that term much in our day. In other words, we don't refer to people as Lord. That would have been a common thing in these days. A Lord would be another way of saying master. It was a term of respect. It was certainly an acknowledgement of positions, of submission, of authority. And we see, first of all, Mary celebrating God's lordship. We see her say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Make great the Lord. Kurios. That word in the Greek is an answer very similar to the Old Testament, Jehovah, the covenant name of God. You know, keep in mind that Mary was Jewish and would have had Jewish teaching, upbringing, would have had some education in the Old Testament. So the Lord, she wants to magnify him as her master. So as we celebrate Jesus, how do you express that? What could I say? Think about him as your master. What could you say about him as your master? He's a good master, isn't he? He's kind. To be under his care is such a wonderful privilege, whether I'm a slave or not. Hey, when God's my master, I'm in a privileged house. Celebrate his lordship. Talk about that and the significance of that in your life. She says then in verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, when in the narratives, that is, in the accounts of events of the New Testament, when you see this term Savior, this name Savior, you got to realize that in the Jewish mindset, when they would speak of the Savior, it was Yeshua. In the Hebrew, Jesus is the Greek form. And what shall her baby be called? Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. And as Mary here expresses, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." In her mind, the name of her baby would have been ringing in her ears. The one that would be so tiny at this point, just brand new, but yet so very much alive, to the point that when she walked into the room, John the Baptist leaped in the womb of his mother. That encounter. God, my Savior, celebrate his salvation. We don't think a lot about salvation. At least I don't think I do. But when I bring it up, I trust it evokes within you some emotion. So the realization that if I needed a savior, then that means I needed saving, which means I was in a desperate situation and needed rescuing. Have you forgotten? Oh, never forget, dear church, that you needed rescued, that you needed delivered. And there was no deliverance found anywhere but Jesus Christ. But the babe within her womb was God, Savior, Yeshua. As you celebrate Jesus this Christmas, celebrate His Lordship, celebrate His salvation. Remember His name, Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins, is what the angel told Joseph. That's what His name means, Jehovah saves. In verse 48, we read, "For He," that is God my Savior, "for He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden." Celebrate His watchful gaze. That word "regarded" speaks of gaze, speaks of watching over. And Mary here is celebrating how God is watching over her and her low estate, her position. God knew about her. Just one young handmaiden, young lady, in all of Israel, of all of Judaism. And it was her. She didn't live in a palace. She didn't live in Jerusalem. She lived in Nazareth. And yet God saw her. Church, we have a God who is very personal and who sees you. Yes, you. You as an individual. God deals with us as individual people. It's not as if God looks down and He sees blue and red. You see, He looks upon our very hearts, and He knows our thoughts, and He knows our every circumstance, and so we can celebrate His watchful gaze over us as His people. We celebrate His Lordship, we celebrate His salvation, we celebrate His watchful gaze. We celebrate His incarnation. I hesitate using words such as them, those words like that, but it's an important word for you to know. Incarnation. Incarnation is a word that communicates the idea of Jesus coming to earth, becoming flesh. God becoming man. And we notice in verse 48, the second part, I'll read the whole verse, "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call Me blessed." Celebrate His coming to earth and becoming a man, His incarnation. Because what is Mary celebrating here? Well, she is acknowledging that from this point on, all generations all generations, it says. All generations shall call her blessed. Why? Is it because she was some special person? Yeah. But she wasn't special in regards that some religions portray her. She was special because she bore within her womb the Savior. When God became flesh, He became flesh within her. And so therefore, she was called blessed. This is not to exalt her upon some pedestal, but to recognize how God has used her to bring about His plan of redemption. The very fact that Jesus came to earth, that God became man, is something to remember, something to talk about, something to say around the dinner table. Of what significance is it to you that God became man, that God became flesh? For Mary, she is realizing the eternal effect. All generations are going to call her blessed. All generations are going to be affected. So celebrate His lordship. Celebrate His salvation. Celebrate His watchful gaze. Celebrate His incarnation. How about celebrating His personal care? We see in verse 49, "For He that is mighty hath done to me great things." So He that is mighty hath done to me, a lowly handmaiden, great things. You know, it's that idea of your when you've got the big brother and how the big brother is taking care of you as a little brother and how meaningful it is when he takes time to take care of you in a desperate situation. Mary was just a lowly girl living in Nazareth. And yet here what she is rejoicing over is the personal care. In other words, what she's saying is this mighty God has done some great things to me. To me. Take some time and think about what the mighty God, what great things has He done to you? To you. You thinking about that? Mighty? He's mighty. But yet He's done great things to me. That's the kind of things that's worth talking about, to get it out of rattling around in our brains and communicating it so that it can be a blessing to others. I'm thinking as I consider over these words of celebration, the great things that God has done in my life. I think of how in times of failure, and I've been confronted with some of them in the last several weeks, failure, sin, selfishness, I'm forgiven. You know, that's an amazing thing. Forgiven. I could wallow in self-pity and be so down and so discouraged, and yet I am forgiven. The magnitude of being your pastor and preaching is not lost on me. To stand up before you and preach the Word of God, I realize how important it is that I am right before God myself. But you need to understand that I am not always right before God. But the reason I can stand before you is because of the great thing called forgiveness that is found in Jesus. And think about the magnitude that that kind of thing has upon others when you share it with them. And see, what Mary has done is she is vocalizing. This is not something that is just within her thoughts that we're understanding, but this is out there. Elizabeth is hearing this at least. And she's benefiting. And so are we. Celebrate his personal care. Next, we celebrate his holiness. Mary says this in the end of verse 49, and holy is his name. You see it here in the text. This is what Mary is doing, and so that's why I say this is a model. Do you celebrate his holiness? What is the significance of his holiness, God's holiness, in your life? You realize this, that if since God is holy, what that means is that reveals for us our own inadequacies, our own failures, our own falling short. Because there's this comparison that takes place between the holiness of God and us, and we fall short every time. Which brings in our need for Jesus, right? The Savior. God is holy. And because God is holy, there is a need for a Savior. Holiness. Did you know that we are called to be holy? 1 Peter talks about that. It says, be holy as for I am holy. Is it possible for you to be holy, or is it possible for you to live a holy life? Yes, it is. Church, it is. Can you live a perfectly consistent holy life? No. But you can live a holy life. Holy is his name. Which brings up this additional truth, his names. When was the last time you've sat down with somebody and talked about your favorite name of God? Why talk about his names? Because they're holy. He's the only one who has those names. He's the only one that brings meaning to those names. Holy. That's what holy is, set apart. Celebrate his holiness. That's what Mary did. Holy is his name. What did she do next? She celebrated his mercy. I'm only halfway through. You getting the idea? This is something you can do on your own. You celebrate his mercy. She says, verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You celebrate his mercy. How has God not given you what you deserve? Have you ever talked about that? Have you ever expressed publicly or in a group or with your family the mercy that you have experienced in your life? notice it says his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. There's this passing on. Celebrate his strength. I'm moving more quickly now. Verse 51, he hath showed strength with his arm. That's a common one that we will see in the scriptures, celebrating his strength. How has God shown his strength? Next, celebrating his authority over the proud. In verse 51, he has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. So we can celebrate his authority over the proud and his exaltation of the lowly. Yeah. Wow, that is so wonderful that we know this to be true. That our God has authority over the proud. And that he exalts the lowly. This propels us to what? To be proud? No. To be humble. To seek to be low. I tell you this often, but the best definition I know of humility is having an accurate understanding of yourself before God. When you see yourself as God sees you, that's humility. So celebrate his authority over the proud and his exaltation of the lowly. Next, celebrate his provision. Look at 53. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He's filled the hungry with good things. You celebrate his house. How has God helped you? How has he provided for you? You see, verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And then finally, celebrate his covenants. Verse 55, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. That's how she ended it. That was her final words in this song. Why does she bring up our fathers, Abraham, and to his seed forever? Why? It's because of the Abrahamic covenant, and embedded in the Abrahamic covenant is blessing. And then his seed forever communicates to us the ongoing covenants that continue from Abraham through Moses and then David. What do they communicate to us is that what God says he will do, he will do. It communicates to us that God has a plan. It communicates to us that God wants us to know his plan and have a confidence in him that he will carry out his plan. Mary was so excited that the earth was finally going to know the blessing that was promised to Abraham. All the families of the earth will be blessed. How? Through Jesus, through the babe in her womb. So by review, we are celebrating Jesus. And this is a model to help us celebrate him. Some ways of just digging around, rototilling the mind. Thinking about his lordship, his salvation, his watchful gaze, his incarnation, his personal care, his holiness, his mercy, his strength, his authority over the proud, his exaltation of the lowly, his provision, his help, his covenants. And you could go on and on. But this is just one small example, and I trust you see that, and you can do this on your own as you take some of the songs of the scriptures and use them as a model to help you express to God words of celebration. Thank you, God, for our time tonight, and we do rejoice and celebrate you. Even having celebrated, Lord, your supper, the Lord's supper tonight, we remember your body and your shed blood. So God, the message has been preached. The word has been brought forth. And now God, give strength to your people. Carry us along this week. Use us as your servants, as your slaves, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.